Welcome to the Runners Roundtable podcast. Season 4 is conversations with runners, and each episode features a conversation with an inspiring female runner who is making the running community better in her own way. In this episode, I'm talking to Jessica Hofheimer about her business's Pace of Me Coaching and We Run on Art. We talk about how she uses both to remind us all how to celebrate our wholehearted and whole person selves. Enjoy this episode and thanks for listening. Okay. Welcome everyone to another episode of season 4 of Runner's Roundtable. We're in this season, I'm talking to different women within the running community who are changing the face and then the experience and just how we view ourselves as runners. And I'm really excited to have Jessica Hofheimer here with me today because you are someone that I think it took me a minute to link Pace of Me and We Run on Art as being you. But both of those just bring me so much joy. Like, there is so much love in the way you portray your relationship to running and in the way you portray the art you create around running. So I just want to start off by saying thank you for that.
Oh, thank you.
It's just, there's, I don't want to say soft, but there's like a softness in which you share running that makes me love running so much more. So I just want to, again, just thank you for that. And start off by asking you to tell us about yourself and how you got into running in the first place.
Oh, thank you so much for all of that. That really like meant a lot to hear that. It was really kind of you. I started running in 1999, so a long time ago. I'll date myself here. But I was recently out of college, and prior to college and like my high school days, I was a soccer player and pretty active athletically, but college was a tough time for me. I lost someone that I loved so much to suicide, and I through a pretty deep depression. And as a young person, I know now, like, I was coping in ways that, like, you know, drinking a lot of alcohol and not taking care of myself. And so along with that, I obviously, like, I wasn't exercising. After college, though, I guess I kind of reached a point where I was tired of that. I was tired of not taking care of myself, and wanted to find a way to do that. And I had a friend from high school who was, I never really considered an athlete, who was training for a marathon. And I didn't even know what, I was one of those people that, would say, how far is your marathon? Like, I didn't know they were all 26.2 miles. So I never get irritated when someone asks that, because I remember being in that position. But anyway, I was inspired to try that. And so I, at the time, I was like smoking a lot of cigarettes and, you know, still as a young professional going out at 10 o'clock at night, you know. But I quit smoking cold turkey and just sort of thought maybe I could replace some not so great habits with a new one, like running. And so I ran my, I signed up for a marathon. It was Philadelphia in 2000. And that was, it changed my life. Like, that was the beginning of my discovery of the power of running, because it really did act as a catalyst to me learning. You know, they say the marathon changes your life, and it does, but I think what is really true is that you change your life by deciding to do that, you know.
Oh, I love that sentiment. I just love that sentiment, because to do a marathon is one of the hardest things we can decide to do. And it's not just about race day, but it's about all the days that lead into that. And it's all the choices you have to make in order to accommodate marathon training, right? Like, so much of your life has to change in order for you to be able to successfully do it, or at least, you know, not struggle as much as maybe you might struggle. So you have 1999, you start running. 2000, you run your first marathon. 2000, you run your first marathon. When did you get into run coaching?
Yeah, so that happened in 2010. I got my certification as a running coach. So about 10 years into it. And that really started because I thought I could learn a lot about how to improve my own running, because I was self-coaching, you know, doing it that way. And I just had been making so many mistakes, like, over and over again. And so I went through the coaching certification program through RRCA. Just kind of my intention when I did it was more to learn. I wasn't necessarily thinking I would actually coach other people or that it would evolve what it has today. But after that, I wound up getting a client. My sister had mentioned to someone that, oh, her sister was a running coach. He should hire me. So she got me a client, and I was like, ah, okay. And then I realized it was so awesome to help him. So that's how it happened.
I love that your sister was the one that was kind of plugging you, like, here, go to my sister. How have you seen that how have you seen that running itself and then running through the eyes of a run coach, how has it changed since 1999?
Oh my gosh. Well, okay, in 1999, 2000, no one wore GPS watches. I mean, that wasn't even a thing when I started. I mean, there's so many ways that it has changed. You know, that's like 20, 24, 25 years. But, you know, so from then, I don't think back then people, like, everyday runners had coaches, to my knowledge. I don't think it was even, you know, I'll joke, I have three kids, and I'll joke and be like, you know, I was an English major in college. You know, I didn't, my 8-year-old wouldn't have dreamt I would be 30 years later coaching runners and, like, having my own business coaching runners, you know. So I don't even think the career, you know, at this level. I mean, even when I ran the marathon back then, it was a small sport, you know, from a standpoint of, I think running in itself has grown so much over the years. You know, that question, how far is your marathon, was a much more common question back then. You know, there were no bumper stickers like 26.2 everywhere. No one would have known what that was. And it's also changed a lot in the last 10 to 15 years, you know, since I got my coaching certification. You know, I didn't see a lot of people, especially women, doing what I was doing, you know? And so I feel like people in my sort of generation of the running coach career, for people who are helping non-elite athletes achieve their running dreams and discover their potential in this sport, not just potential as far as, like, performance and times, but also the potential, like, I like to think about it as, like, the depth of potential and how running can enhance your experience of being a human, you know, in all areas of life. That wasn't something when I went through my certification and started coaching. There really weren't a lot of people for me to look to as examples of, like, what does this mean? What can this look like? What I've discovered is, like, that might be, like, kind of a bummer to someone like you from then, that I didn't have those examples, but it also was freeing. Like, I could create, I can just kind of, like, allow it to evolve. And there isn't, you know, any like quote unquote right or wrong way to do it, as long as you're doing it based on like your own values and what, you know, you what kind of like how you want to serve others. And now there is, I think, like, it's so common for people to have a coach, you know, whether they want to run a 5K and see how fast they can run it, or and like achieve, you know, certain awards and things like that, or they want to do it without stopping, or they want to do a run walk strategy. Like, there's so many ways a coach can help someone with their running that I don't think existed back then.
So thank you for saying all that, because it leads me into wanting to ask you how you landed on the word wholehearted, because I, you know, when you start coaching in 2010, I'm going to assume that at that time it was very much do the workouts to be the athlete. Whereas now I feel like we have more discussions on how running is something we're adding to our lives. Like, we have to take life stressors into consideration. So what does that word wholehearted mean for you? And how did you come to embrace that word? Because it's kind of connects back to what I, my introduction to you of the joy and just the, one of my favorite words is delight. Like, I love the word delight. And that's very much so what your art conveys for me, just this delight in the experience of running. So where did this wholeheartedness come from? And how is it that you work to embody it in your coaching?
I love that. Yeah, I mean, I really think it comes from just recognizing over the last decade plus of working with people, important it is as a coach to be invested in another person's journey. And, you know, it is different for everyone. And so taking this approach of like, this is a whole person, and running is, you know, it's a method of expression in a person. It's an outlet for many people. It is going, how running feels and what it means for someone is going to be so intimately connected to who they are as a person and where they are in their life. And there will be so many different influences on how someone feels. Like, the data is really cool when you look at like the numbers and like, oh, how someone's, you know, effort, their perceived exertion and their heart rate and their paces and all of that. The data's cool. It's important, but it never tells the whole story. And someone might go out and have a really rough run, and they might be like, I don't understand. I did all the things right. Like, you know, but then if you know the person and you're really sharing in their journey and listening to them, maybe you also will then be able to recognize how other stresses might be influencing them. Like, they had a really rough week at work, or they're, you know, deep last night. There's so many different factors, but you have to take that like 360 view and approach. And so investing yourself wholly as a coach, to me, I never want to sacrifice someone's overall well-being, health, happiness for any numbers. And so I believe we're going to run our best when we feel our best and we're living our best, like, most aligned ways. And so I just think it's really important to make sure we care about them as people first.
Yeah, and I think that is something that I'm really enjoying about being in the running space right now, because I feel like more people are talking about that. More people are talking about the mental side of being an athlete and of going after these hard goals. And I'm also in that space too of recognizing that the numbers never tell the full story. And one race day also doesn't tell the full story. So when athletes come to you, do you talk to them about the mental side of things? Is that something that's like right off the bat, you're like, we're going to make sure we cover this? Or is that something that develops as the run coach athlete relationship develops?
Yeah, I would say both. Because it also depends on the person. I'm not, a mental health professional, so it's not like that. I just, I like everything, like nothing is irrelevant. It's important. You don't like silo different things that you share. What you're comfortable with, because don't just assume that I don't care about, like, if you had a small fight or something like that, the next day you have your run.
I lost her. Let's give it a few minutes and see if she comes back. There we go. Are you there?
Uh-oh, I don't know what happened. Yeah, is that okay?
Yeah, you're here. I can see you.
Okay.
I can see you and I can
Sorry,
hear
I don't know
you.
what happened. Okay. So what should I do? How should I, where should I pick up from what I was saying?
But so you were talking about how we're not occurring in a silo, right? Like us being humans is in a vacuum, and how you,
Everything's connected.
yes, that's what
Yeah.
you're talking
And
about.
so I want to make sure people understand it's like a safe space. It's a safe space to talk about things, to know that I care and that I'm there. And from a there's a couple things I think you're talking about. One is like just general mental health. And then the other part of it might be like within running or racing, how sometimes like the mind can make or break a run, and so learning like strategies and tools to use like in a hard runner workout, as far as like maybe on race day if you're having race day anxieties, so those kind of tools, we'll definitely talk about that. And sometimes people might struggle with like their motivation or self-discipline, and like think learning how to have habits around that. We always I'm talking to almost all my athletes about those things all the time. But it depends on the person, how much they want to share, beyond that.
Yeah, and I think that's something always important to remember, right? Not everyone's going to be willing to share as much, but I tell the people I work with, I'm like, I want to know everything. Like, I want to know everything. If you can tell me everything, that's
Yeah.
great, because then it not only helps
Yep.
me put things into perspective, but it also helps me help you not be so hard on yourself, right? Like, if you have a lot, if the runs over the past few days feel really rough, but I know it's because you've been working 12-hour shifts, then it's like, okay, let's kind of remember that you've been working these 12-hour shifts and it really helps them. So,
Yeah.
all right, we have you. You start running, you start run coaching. Pace of Me comes into existence. Can you talk to us a little bit about the evolution of Pace of Me? Because now it's not just you. There's a team, and there's a team of
Yeah.
ladies with you. So can
Yeah.
you tell us about
Yeah.
where you came up with that name and just what the evolution of that has been for you?
Sure. So, Pace of Me, the name and everything, like, it actually started off as a blog back in, like, I think it was like 2009. Back when Blogger was like a big deal.
Yep.
And I just wanted to talk about my, I wanted a place that I could talk about my own like training and experience running and, navigating all of that with motherhood and working and everything. And so I just thought of it on a run one day. And I was like, oh, I kind of like that. Okay. And so I created that. And then it just, as I got into coaching, it was like, okay, well, that's That's the name. So it's now Pace of Me Coaching. And it's just that has just evolved from the blog and like then sharing on Instagram and everything. The coaching business, I never had it like mapped out exactly how this would all grow. But about 3 years ago, I was coaching an athlete local to me named Amy. And she and I just, she was a joy to coach, and we became really close friends. And I asked her if she wanted to come on as a coach, and she did. So it was the two of us for a while. And then in the last year, we actually, this past year, we added three more coaches. And so it's been amazing. It's really fun.
Yeah. I mean, we have someone who was an English major, right? Like that trajectory for yourself, an English major now has her own coaching business. And on top of the coaching business, can you talk to us about We Run on Art and how you're like a kaleidoscope to me, because I'm like, oh, there's all these other little pieces that make such a beautiful image. So what's the genesis of We Run on Art?
Aww. Yeah, so I mean, since I was a young girl, I've loved to draw and paint and just be creative. And I thought it sounded really weird. Like, how do I meld these passions of like creativity and art with running? And for a while I was sort of like sharing some of my art on Pace of Me and just kind of like, I don't know, maybe this is weird. I paint or draw a rabbit on the first of the month. I don't know if you've seen that, but I've done
I was
that
going
for
to ask
years
you
and
about
years.
that.
Yeah, that is like just a little ritual that I have on the first of the month. The tradition, I think it's a British tradition to say rabbit, 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 or rabbit, rabbit on the first of the month. Good fortune. Celebrating new beginnings and fresh starts, and I've just always loved it. And so it's a little thing that my family and I do. And so I think now it's been about 8 years. I just started, I keep a journal, and I just started drawing a rabbit in my journal the first of the month. It's just like a way to sort of honor that. And then I would share them on Instagram, and people loved them. And I'm like, I don't know, it's kind of random, but it's part of who, we're all kaleidoscopes.
Yes.
We really are. We're
yes.
we're multifaceted people with many passions and interests. And I think like in my own like journey of like learning who I am as a person, I don't know why, but like I thought it was like I was like sort of more of a black and white thinker, like you're this or you're that, you're all or you're none. I've been very good at like going all in or going all out. And like in my own life journey, I've had to learn how to like accept all these parts of myself and own them, celebrate them, if just be true to who I am. And learn how to like wade into the middle and not be a person of extremes all the time, and so anyway, I started to share these parts of myself and my life and like let go of like what other people's narratives might be about that and understand like this is part of what brings me joy and meaning. And so with the running, with the art that celebrates running, it just kind of naturally felt like, as odd as it might sound, like it makes a lot of sense to me that these two things go together. The art that I make through We Run on Art celebrates runners. Some of it is portraits of runners, where people actually send me in their photographs of themselves or someone they love, and I create a piece of art to commemorate that. And so it was very custom created. And then some of it is just stuff I thought of. And I wanted to articulate through art things that like encourage other runners, celebrate other runners, are ways to kind of like make sense of or look at different aspects of running and being a person. So it just kind of, I just let it happen. And it's still, you know, something that I work on, like just letting it be an expression of me. Like once you put it out there, it's like, hope it connects with other people, because that's like kind of the point of putting it out there. Otherwise it would just be something for me, but I want it to help others feel less alone, others feel like, oh yeah, I know what that feels like, or like how cool is that, that like this other person can like, because I ask people to share their stories when they send in the photographs. So every runner has a story, is basically that message, you know, that's worthy of sharing and celebrating.
Yeah. So that brings me to the question of why is it important for us runners to celebrate ourselves?
I mean, what we do, I guess I could, I love that question. And I think it probably does depend on the person, like, because I do believe that everyone has their own story or stories with regards to how they show up for themselves and run each day. You know, even for the people who are just kind of like born a runner, I've known people who are just given this like talent of a runner, and it doesn't mean that this comes easily to them. There's a lot of pressure associated with that, a lot of like, well, who am I if I'm not able to run, you know, like no one's story doesn't matter or have significance to that. I think it's hard for all of us to get up out the door and put in, like, running is a kind of sport and movement practice that is gradual progression. It's not the kind of thing that like you do it one time and like boom. So I think it's important to celebrate the fact that like you're doing this for yourself, and it's about consistently showing up, even if that means over time. So like you get knocked down so much by life and by, you know, whatever, so many different circumstances could give you a reason. I think if we stopped running completely every single time something got in our way, there would be no one that ran, because it's really hard to, you know, like no one would do it. Like, and so it requires, like, this sport, it does require like picking yourself up and choosing yourself over and over and over again. And that to me is so worth celebrating.
And I think that kind of connects back.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think it connects back to what you were sharing earlier about being, you know, addressing the whole person, that wholehearted human being that happens to pick up running, because we are more than the runs. We are more than just runners. We are people who are choosing to do something really hard. And that's something I've been, I feel like, on a bit of a pedestal the past few months, couple of months, is just this reminder that there's so much more to being a runner than just running. And with that, I'm curious if you'd be willing to share how your definition of yourself as a runner has shifted, changed, or maybe transformed in the past year as you've had different surgeries or different things happen in your life, right? How How is running and how you see yourself as a runner, how has that been? What has that experience been like for you over the past year or so?
Well, the last year has been really interesting because I did have surgery in May first for like full abdominal reconstruction and repair for diastasis recti. That was really significant, and that required like a 6 week no running period. And then a gradual return to running after that. And then in the middle of that return, I fell on a run and landed on my hands and knees and tore some ligaments and soft tissue in my left wrist and had to have another surgery that was pretty major on my left arm. So that actually, like, even though that was a pretty major surgery, I didn't run for I think about 10 days after that one. But then that was a slow return as well. And in both of those, there was also a lot of like the mental, like working with the fear of like, what if I fall again, or like, you know, all that kind of stuff. But, or I should say, and here I am now, training for the Boston Marathon, which is the last marathon I ran from 2023. So it'll be a full year between marathons. I had my first surgery last year, 3 weeks after Boston. So this year, you know, has really been quite interesting. I just finished a 16-mile run and I feel really healthy and really strong. I don't feel that the hard things that I went through this year have taken away from my life as a runner or as a person. If anything, I feel like they have increased my capacity for appreciation and joy for what my body can do. I'm so excited to run Boston.
Okay, hold on.
I'm sorry. I don't know. I have my bars.
Don't worry. Don't worry. We keep the conversations real.
I'm so sorry.
No, don't worry. Okay. So you were sharing that you're excited about having Boston coming up.
Yes.
Especially since Boston was the last marathon you did in 2023. So a full year between marathons.
Yeah, a full year. And did you hear how I said, like, I feel like it didn't take away from where I'm at now, but that I feel even more. Yeah, because that is probably the biggest takeaway. You would have thought like, oh my gosh, so like close to 8 weeks, right? Of like no running because of like surgeries.
Yeah.
would really like make me maybe not as fit or not feel as good in different ways, but it's just that hasn't been my experience. I've worked really hard. I mean, don't get me wrong, lots of occupational therapy, physical therapy, strength work, being really like, oh, and I got COVID, right? Because that,
yes,
I forgot
yes,
about that. I got COVID in January, which was the first time I had COVID in all these years. I never had it before. So that was another setback, right? But I just like kind of accepting where I was at and then being like, okay, I will just meet myself where I am. And so, yeah, I'm so excited. I feel really good right now. I feel super thankful. I think gratitude is a superpower. And yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But I just love being able to train. Honestly, it feels so good to be able to get out there and move in nature, whether it's alone or with good friends. It's part of who I am. You know, I think recognizing this year has taught me like there are seasons for everything. And it's okay. Like, you have to take care of yourself and trust your path. Don't force things. Patience is required.
Yeah. And I think it's so, I'm curious how that has informed your coaching, right? Because I feel like I always tell people it's the season. We've got to, you know, it's not even just trying to see things as like not really setbacks, but opportunities to do things differently or to learn or. An opera in my
totally.
case, in my case, I'm always like, it's an opportunity to rest. How about we rest more? I'm always telling people, I'm like, just rest, go take a day off, go be free. So I'm curious, if this experience for you has changed maybe how you're communicating with your athletes or even just with the community at large about the importance of embracing the setbacks, but also embracing the season you're in.
Yeah. I mean, I do think, like you were saying before, like one race doesn't define who we are as a runner or even where we are. So many different factors come into play. You know, I do think our injuries and our hard times can be our greatest teachers. They can, you know, open us up to learning new ways of doing things, or new ways of supporting ourselves. Sometimes, you know, taking a season away from racing, for example, or from the marathon and focusing on shorter distance, things like that. It's just really all about meeting yourself where you are. And being curious about why you think something, you have to do something. Like, I'll have athletes who I see are like signing up for a marathon and then they're holding on, you know, so tightly to that idea, but they're overstressing. And so we'll be like, okay, well, what's important to you about this? And then we can maybe look a little closer at it and realize, like, actually a half marathon might be able to sort of satisfy that without overstressing some of your other priorities, you know? So just being inquisitive and helping people see, like, there's a whole array of things we can do as runners in different seasons of our lives that might make more sense than at other times.
Yeah, and that, and I feel like I'm going to keep bringing us back to this, but it really does connect to that wholehearted, whole person approach that you have, where it's, let's take a moment to zoom out and truly figure out the why behind what you want to do and what actually makes sense with that, right? So I'm someone who, you know, I'm probably very similar to you in that I really, really do enjoy the process of training for marathons, even if I complain, and I do a lot of complaining. I'm in Miami, Florida. It's hot. I complain a lot about my feet. But there's something about building my confidence and building my body to this person who can make it to a start line and be confident enough to know that she's going to make it to a finish line. There's something so incredibly beautiful about that. But there's also those moments where I have to pull myself back because life doesn't allow for that particular goal. And I have to figure out, is it really that marathon finish line that I'm craving, or is it just the structure of working towards a goal? And can that goal be something that's not necessarily tied to a race, but something that's for me? And I find that for me personally, it's a lot easier to come to the answers when I do talk to people about it. So can you share in your experience? Oh, I lost her again. She's back. You're back.
You were saying when you talk to people about it.
Yeah, and the seasonality and whatnot. So I'm just curious from your experience, how do you help people really? Like, how do you, and I feel like this is just, again, I have it because I talk to people, but how do you help people recognize the importance of talking to people about their goals or of sharing what's going on in their lives that may impact them as runners? Because I feel like we often think, oh, if I do the work, then I should be able to do the thing. And it's like, no, it's really not that simple.
Yeah. Well, I think part of it too is like I've been doing this for so long, and I'll be 48 next or in April. So, and I've been running since I was like 20, three. So it's been a long time. And I've had three kids during that time. I've had a lot of like, and I still consider myself young, but my athletes, the current roster that I have ranges in age from 17 to 73. And so I not only have I been doing this for a while in my own life and running, and have had different seasons and things, but also I have worked with so many athletes, and I have such a vast like my athletes are the people that teach me the most, you know what I mean? And so I've learned just over time, like when I bring a new athlete in and we talk and get to know each other in the very beginning, I always emphasize like the importance of communication and how like a person comes to you to to be coached, and they're investing in this. Like, so you want them to get out of it. And I ask those questions right from the beginning, like, what are your expectations in working from a coach? Like, what do you, want out of this experience? And I try to explain to them, like, well, here's how I can most effectively help you. I will be much better able to help a person who communicates with me and lets me know how they're feeling and what their life is like. And I am creating a customized training plan for them, and they're paying for that experience. And so if they aren't communicating, how can I know if like they have a board meeting every Tuesday night or something like that, or whatever it is. And so I think like just from the very beginning, establishing the importance of like, let me know how you're feeling. Nothing is TMI, everything's confidential. I am part of your team. Like I say that so many times. And then I also do ask, like, I have our athletes fill out a questionnaire after we talk and like before we start working together. And it's like 4 pages long. And at the end, it's like, just what are your biggest running dreams? Like, I want to know the things in your heart that like you might even be afraid to like say out loud or put on paper. But it's really fun to like give people this safe space to like put it out there. So I don't know. I mean, I hope that answers your question.
Well, I think it's what
I
you're,
try to just really emulate that.
yeah, and I think what you're highlighting is the importance of not only a person feeling comfortable speaking, but also having the person who's on the receiving end of those words, creating a space that does feel safe, right? Like a space that does feel welcoming to share the concerns, the dreams, the all of it. And that's something that for me, anytime I speak to run coaches, I'm always just so amazed at the fact of how human that relationship is. It's not just here's a training plan and go. It's no, here's a training plan that reflects you. So that's part one. But part two of it is that very similar to something you said about your art, is that when a person receives your training plan, they're also receiving a piece of you, right? Like it's a piece of your creativity. And yes, there are certain rules that we follow and like progressions and whatnot, but it's also your bit of creativity in a way to bring a plan together that makes sense for that person and that is challenging enough to challenge, but not so challenging that the person feels uninspired by the plan that you're giving them, right? So
yeah,
for anyone who's considering coming into run coaching, what are some words of wisdom that you would share?
I think it does matter to care about, you know, like the make sure, like, if you're really motivated by the science side of it, for example, like it's really important to recognize, like, you are more than just a workout giver. You know, and also, like, you know, we don't running coach school isn't a thing. You know, and we could go through these certification programs. They are just like not there's I wish there were better educational opportunities for us as running coaches personally. But you know, it's the tip of the iceberg. So much of what you do as a coach, like, is you're going to learn on the job. And you have to, I think it's really important as a coach. Like, this is one reason why I love that we have a team and why I have a lot of friends who have their own coaching businesses. And I think it's just really important that we talk to each other, you know, and that we have resources and other professionals too, who are like, you know, registered dietitians and strength coaches, you know, things like that, mental health professionals, you know, sports psychologists, things like that, because we're kind of like the jack of all trades. And I don't think we're master of none. We are master of one for sure. Maybe we're master of many, but like we don't have a degree of like those other really important things.
Yeah.
And we don't have really like a degree as a running coach. Like, we have these certifications, but just recognizing that, like, you are always going to be learning. You don't ever know it all. And with a lot of your athletes too, it is collaborative. Like, you know, you're going to get to know your athletes and understand, like, some of them, you know, you might have two people who run exactly the same paces, for example, and the same mileage, but one is like has the area of growth in the aerobic endurance side of things, and the other one needs to work on power and speed. Like, everyone's going to have a unique like equation of what's going to help them. So don't be afraid to reach out to other coaches and to ask questions. Always be a sponge to learn.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's just a part of it.
Yeah. And I think that brings up another point. And I'm hoping you can speak to this about seeing other people in your field as competition.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I my mindset around this is like, I don't think there's enough running coaches in the world. So, you know, I don't think about it that way, honestly. Like, I feel like it is so awesome that there are other coaches out there serving. I mean, there's so many more runners who need coaches than there are coaches who can coach them. And I think also we have so much to learn from each other, you know? So I just think it's awesome. You know, there's, to me, it's not competitive in that way. I don't know. Like, that's just not something like that is part of my narrative.
Yeah. I was
don't
going to
know.
say, no, I appreciate that, because that's one of the big messages I try to get across to people with this podcast, is that there is enough space for all of us to shine, that this idea that we
Totally.
compete against each other, it's that is a story of society and not the reality.
Yeah.
Because I know for
Yeah. I mean,
myself,
because also social media makes it look really small too, you know? Like,
yes.
reality is exactly what you're saying. Like, we need more running coaches. We really need more running coaches that aren't just white men. Like, I think we just need more women, more people of color, more people from diverse running backgrounds. Like, you know, the coolest thing about this sport is that, like, so many people are capable of doing this. You know what I mean? They need to see themselves represented in that, and that they need to see themselves as worthy of having a coach who can help guide them. The other piece of it too is, like, I don't ever expect, like, my athletes that I would be coaching them for their entire running life, you know? So, like, to me, it's just a gift to be part of someone's journey for however long that makes sense. For some people, it's years and years for without any breaks. For other people, it's like, you know, this little bit of time to get them to this race, and then there's a break, and then a coach again for another thing, because everyone has different budgets and different seasons of their lives. And it's just an honor to be part of that, you know. So I feel like it's a gift as a coach to be able to, it's really a service that we provide, you know. And so to serve a person and be part and sharing in their journey for however long that makes sense is so awesome. So to me, it's like, it's not about, like, looking at other coaches as competition. You know, I have athletes who right now I'm coaching who are going through their coaching certification. I am so jazzed about that, you know, like, so yeah, I think I get on my soapbox about that. Like, more coaches, more people doing this awesome work. I think what we do is really impactful.
Well, and I wrote it down because I want to remember it, but it's that what we do is a service. It's not a product. And that,
yeah,
it's just like, yeah, you're right. Because I think of the people I work with, whether it's within running or whether it's with yoga, I'm like genuinely invested in them being their most empowered self. And yes, it's through run coaching or through teaching yoga. Like, that's the vehicle, right? Like, that's what we're
right,
driving.
right.
But really, the destination is getting you to a place where you feel so empowered and so amazed and awed by yourself. And I just, everything you've said, I'm like, can I bring you another bullhorn so that you can spread that message? Because I find that that's really something that I see, and I see it particularly with women, right? Where there is such a hesitation of stepping into being that leader, of stepping into coaching other people, because who am I to say this or that? And it's like, you're you, and you have your experience, and you have your ability to connect with people to, again, for me, it really comes back to, it's not just here's the plan, but can the plan be created in such a way that you feel inspired to follow it, and you feel inspired to follow it because you know it's tailored to you. So it's, again, I, through this podcast, I really, that's like a big thing of, like, we can elevate all of our voices. Like, we can all be at the top, and then we can cheer each other on, because this notion that we need to compete, or that there's limited resources, or that there aren't a lot of runners. And it's like, no, I mean, I'm thinking of, like, one of my run groups right now. And it's like, there's, I don't know how many of us are in that, but only a handful have run coaches. There's a whole group of people who don't have run coaches, much to what you said, of thinking that there, which frustrates me to no end. They're too slow, quote unquote, too slow to have a run coach. And it's like, but it's not about that. Like,
right.
It's about, yeah, it's a training plan, but it's also having someone that's going to be your biggest cheerleader. Oftentimes your biggest running cheerleader, because maybe there's other people in your life that don't necessarily understand running or support it. So I really appreciate everything you've said, because it's something that I definitely preach of. There's space for us all. And this idea that we need to compete, or that there's limited resources, it's something that's not true at all. So again, thank you for sharing that.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I agree with you so much.
I have three more questions for you.
Okay. And
first one is easy, and it's just, can you tell us where we can follow you, where we can learn more about you and your art?
Okay. So we have a website. It's paceofme.com, which also you can link over to the other website, leaderonart.com. They both have links to each other. So Pace of Me has like the running coaching info, and We Run on Art has the art info. And then the Instagram, that's pretty much the platform we use. So I have Pace of Me, where I share my journey and my story. And then Pace of Me Coaching, which is all about our coaching. And then We Run on Art, which is the art.
Okay. I think I might know the answer to the next question, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Okay.
What do you have coming up that we can celebrate you in?
Oh, thanks. So I have Boston Marathon happening in April, and I'm doing a half marathon in Greenville, South Carolina, called the Swamp Rabbit Half Marathon, the end of February. So those are my races coming up.
I love that rabbits play such a prominent role in your life, and then you're going to run a swamp rabbit half.
I'm so excited.
I hope that medal has a rabbit on it or something that will just inspire.
I think it does.
Oh my gosh, that's going to be the inspiration for me first.
Yeah, that race has been on my bucket list for a while. There's a trail there called the Swamp Rabbit Trail, and it's beautiful. It's like a rails to trail paved greenway type situation, and it goes from this little town called Traveler's Rest into Greenville downtown.
Oh,
so I'm super excited.
I'm excited for you. All right, final question is, what are your final words for us?
Oh, well, I just want to say thank you. I am really appreciative of this community, of you. Anyone who's listening to this, I imagine, feels connected to this community and to this way of moving. And I'm just so grateful that this exists, and to be a part of it, and to be asked to share here. So that's, just what I want to say, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much, Jessica, for joining me today and for just sharing your joy and your delight and just all your goodness with us and all the ways that you're putting it out into the world. So thank you for being here with me. Everyone else, we'll see you next time. Bye.
Thank you.
I had honestly never thought of running as a form of self-expression until Jessica said it in this conversation. As a runner, yes, I've expressed myself through my clothes and the glitter I wear, but I've never given each run the celebration it deserves for being the thing I do that says something about who I am in that moment of time. That good run I had earlier this week, that is an expression of the joy I felt when it was cold outside and the fact that I was rested and well-fed. Thank you, Jessica, for planting that seed of running as self-expression.
I hope you take some time today to reflect on how your most recent run reflects the magic of who you are as a runner right now. For more on Jessica, give her a follow on Instagram at Pace of Me, We Run on Art, and Pace of Me Coaching. You can also check out her websites at paceofme.com and werunonart.com. You can reach out to me on Instagram at The Cookie Runner or through my website at thecookierunner.net. You can also support this podcast with a rating, review, or a share. Until next time, run happy, run strong, and run true to you.